Hello, it's me again, Ray, with yet another podcast episode. That reminds me, okay, something happened the other day and I thought, that reminds me. Back at Christmas, when we weren't all in lockdown, we had the family round, someone mentioned mobile phones and my grandson said to me, "You didn't have a mobile phone when you were at school, Grandad?" And I said, no, didn't have mobile phones back then. And his little face looked a bit puzzled. "Oh," he said, "but you had an iPad." I said, no, didn't have iPads. "Oh, you had a computer though." No, we didn't have computers. He looked at me as if I was mad and thought for a minute. "How did you talk to people?" he said. And it was quite funny. I wish I'd recorded it actually. So I explained that, we talked to people at school. I said, for example, we'd watch something on the telly. I think it was Thursday nights? It was Rawhide, black and white, of course, cowboy thing, back in the 60s, Rawhide, on the telly. And I said, on the next day, we'd talk about it at school. And in the playground, "Oh, did you see Rawhide last night? Oh, yeah, it was great. Did you see that bit where they had the gunfight? Oh, yeah, and the way he came back on his horse." And, you know, we'd chat about it. I told him all this. We'd chat about it at school. And he said, "Oh, you watched telly in your bedroom?" I said, no, didn't have a telly in the bedroom. He said, "Well, where did you have your telly?" I said, "Well, there was one in the lounge." "Only one telly? What, in the whole house?" he said. "For everyone," as if it was something amazing. "One telly in the whole house for everyone." Once he'd got over the shock of that, I said that it worked out quite well. I said, because all the family liked Rawhide and it was on, you know, on a Thursday night. And you know, we'd all sit down and watch Rawhide. If someone didn't want to, perhaps my sister wasn't so keen on it, she'd go to her bedroom and do something in there, do her homework or whatever. And he picked up on something. He said, "Every Thursday night," and I said, "Yeah, every Thursday, I think it was 7 o'clock, can't remember, Rawhide every Thursday at 7. And he said, "So you had to wait a week to watch the next one?" And I said, "Well, that's right. A lot of programmes were like that. You'd have Tomorrow's World, for example, which I liked back in the 60s. And I explained what it was about, all about futuristic things. And I said, "I don't know when that was on. Perhaps it was a Monday night. I can't remember." And he said again, "So you had to wait, if you watched it Monday, you had to wait till the next Monday to watch it again." And I explained to him that, yes, all television was like that. You had weekly programmes. Of course, what he was thinking about were programmes on demand, because he said, "Well, if I want to watch something, I can watch it when I like. Just switch it on. If I want to watch that, I watch it now or tomorrow or whenever or every day." So he couldn't quite grasp the concept of a programme would be on once a week, say on a Monday night at 7 o'clock. Then you wait till the next Monday night to see the next episode. He said, "My mum watches everything at once." And I said, "Yes, I know she does. Quite a few people do, isn't it? They'll watch perhaps 6 episodes of something in a row, watch the whole thing. Rather than over 6 weeks." So things were very, very different as far as TV was concerned. The conversation eventually went back to my school days. And I said, well, you know, we would chat on the way to school as well as in the playground. Because he was saying, how else did you talk to people apart from at school? And I said, well, on the way to school, for example, we either cycled or we walked. It was a good mile and a half to my school. At his face, "You walked? A mile and a half? What's that in kilometres?" I said, "Oh, well, I don't know. It's quite a long way." And he said, "Well, in the rain? What happened in the rain?" I said, "Well, we got wet. But what about the winter when there's snow and ice and wind?" I said, "Well, we got very cold and wet." I said to him, "You know, we wrapped up. We had a balaclava, which is a thing that goes over your head." I'll explain that. "Gloves. Wellingtons. You wore Wellingtons to school?" I said, "Yeah, well, when you get to school, then you change into your school shoes." I said, "You had to wear Wellingtons because, you know, you're trudging through deep snow. Why didn't your mum give you a lift to school?" I said, "Well, mums didn't then." I said, "My mum couldn't drive." He just looked at me again, not as if I was mad, but just totally bewildered. Your mum couldn't drive? Great-grandma couldn't drive?" And I said, "No, not back then. Just, you know, she learnt to drive later, but not back then." His big sister was listening to all this. I was watching her face and she was listening and grinning and frowning where appropriate. He then went over what I'd said they started listing things. So you didn't have a mobile phone, you didn't have an iPad, you didn't have a computer, you didn't have a television in your room, and you had to walk to school in the deep, deep snow. He did make it sound pretty bad, actually, but of course it wasn't that bad. He then asked about telephones again. Where was the telephone? Who had a telephone? Someone must have had a telephone. And I said, yes, there was one telephone in the hall, in the house. In the hall? Why in the hall? I said, well, I explained that people always had them in the hall because then they could go and make a call or take a telephone call without disturbing other people who might be watching television or listening to the radio or having a conversation. So you'd go to the hall where there was normally a telephone table and a seat. Of course, he picked up on that. A telephone table to put the phone on? I said, yes, to put the phone on. And for the phone book, the directory. Of course, off he went again. What's a directory? I said, well, it's a huge, thick book full of everyone's phone numbers. So you could look up, for example, your friend, Fred Smith, in the high street. You'd look him up, and there's his number. Why? I said, well, because that's the way it worked back then. You know, I've got all my friends' numbers on my phone. I said, yes, I know, but back then we didn't have mobile phones. I could just imagine him picturing me sitting in the hall at this telephone table looking through a huge book with this old-fashioned Bakelite telephone. He went on to say, no one has those phones anymore. He obviously knew what sort of phone a landline was. He said, no one has those. We haven't got one. My friends haven't got one. And I did agree with him. I said, no, that's true. Most people these days just use a mobile phone. They don't have a landline. I said to him that when I was at school, a lot of the kids didn't even have a landline at home. You know, only a few people did back in the late 50s, early 60s. Not everyone had a telephone. Of course, he couldn't understand that. What did people do then? How did they phone people? So I said, well, there was a phone box down the road. I said, you go down to this red phone box. I showed him, actually, on my iPad. I showed him a picture of a red phone box. He said, oh, I've seen those on telly. And I said, you know, you'd have to walk down to that. Well, even in the winter, I said, yeah, back into the winter, in the snow and the wind and the ice. You walk down to the phone box, and then it was out of order. And if it was winter, of course, after you've made your phone call, you hurry back home to get warm by the fire. Because then we went into coal fires. You didn't have heating? No, didn't have heating. What, even in your bedrooms? No, no heating in the bedroom. Weren't you cold? Yes, absolutely freezing. And when I said that there was frost and ice on the inside of the bedroom window, I don't think he believed me. Then his sister chipped in, Granddad, there wasn't ice inside the bedroom window, was there? I said, yes, there was, actually. Mum, Granddad says there was ice inside his bedroom window when he was at school. And, of course, she came over and she said, that's right. Oh, was there ice on your window? And his mum said, no, not on my window. But when Granddad was a child and Grandma, they didn't have central heating, and their rooms were cold, so they had ice inside. Being a Christmas family gathering, there were loads of us there, and another grandchild popped up and she said, if great-grandma couldn't drive, how did she get the shopping home? My mother answered that one because she was there. She said, we didn't have loads of shopping like you do at the supermarket now. Well, how did you go shopping then? How did you get it home? My mother explained that there weren't supermarkets. You go to separate shops. You go to the bread shop, the butcher's shop, the greengrocers, the chemist, all these different shops, all these little faces. Everyone was taking an interest by the... I don't know how many kids there were. There were my grandchildren, others there, nephews, nieces, all sorts of kids. And they're all gathering round, and they're all sitting on the floor, all looking up at me and at my mother and other adults, expectant faces. How did you get all that shopping home? Why were there separate shops? How did you do all that? And my mum explained that you do a little bit of shopping perhaps each day. You didn't do a weekly mass shop, because what happened, of course, the kids were used to going with their mums to the shops in the car, and you load all the car up with carrier bags of shopping. When you get home, you lug all the carrier bags in, perhaps 6, 7, 8 or more big carrier bags full of shopping once a week. But as my mother explained, back in our day, you didn't do that. You pop over and buy some bread and some milk. Perhaps you wanted some flour. Another day, you might just pop over to the shops, because they're only around the corner normally. You'd buy some eggs. You'd buy some meat from the butchers. There wasn't one huge weekly shop. Then someone piped up. So if you wanted chicken nuggets, you had to go and buy them from the shop round the corner. And I said, well, they didn't actually have chicken nuggets. They said, no chicken nuggets. Someone else piped up and said, so if you wanted pizza for dinner, you'd have to go to the shop and buy pizza. And I said, well, no, they didn't have pizza in those days. No pizza, no chicken nuggets. What did you have to eat? I said to you, there was loads of food. You know, you buy meat from the butchers. Well, why didn't he have chicken nuggets? Well, the butchers didn't. You know, you buy chicken from the butchers. He didn't have chicken nuggets. Did he have chips? So no, you couldn't buy chips. You can't buy chips, or the faces then. You can't buy chips. Oh, no. I said, no, you made your own chips at home. You cut up potatoes. I expected one of them to say, well, chips don't come from potatoes. No one asked that, fortunately. It then got on to, someone mentioned back to school again. Oh, it must have been horrible. Said, you look forward to the holidays. And I said, yeah, the school holidays were great. Oh, where did you go? Did you go to Cancun? I said, no, we didn't go to Mexico. Did you go to Egypt? Well, no, we didn't go to Egypt. Well, where did you go? Well, Bognor. Where's Bognor? Well, you know, Butlins, that's where Bognor is. What, you stayed at Butlins? No, we stayed in a caravan. What, a caravan in Bognor? That was your summer holiday. Yes, that's right. Oh, that must have been awful. No, it was good fun, actually. It was great. I loved it. We'd go to Butlins for a day, you know, as a day tripper to Butlins and spend the day there. That was good fun, on the rowing boats and the helter-skelter and things like that with the red coats. That was great fun. And the little faces all looking at me, I'm sure they were convinced by now that I was just making the whole thing up. This was one massive lie. A little hand shot up from the back. Did you have Cocoa Pops for breakfast? I said, well, no, there weren't Cocoa Pops. And no, Cocoa Pops. Did you have Honey Snacks? Well, no. Fruit Loops? No, didn't have Fruit Loops. Well, what did you have for breakfast? Well, porridge oats or cornflakes. Porridge oats? Was that it? No Fruit Loops? Oh, no Honey Snacks. I said that at the weekend you'd have egg and bacon, fried bread. What's fried bread? What's fried bread? Goodness me. Somehow the conversation, or should I say the inquest, got back round to the bedroom with no television, no phone, no computer. So what did you do? And I said, well, by my bed, I had a radio. It's an old valve radio, you know, where the dial lights up at night in the dark room. It's lovely. And I listened to plays on the radio. Now, they knew what a play was, you know, about the theatre and that sort of thing, but not on the radio. They were saying, well, on the radio, a play, but you can't see what's happening. And I said, well, no, that was the beauty of it, because I'd be in bed in a dark room listening to the play, and I could use my own imagination. I could picture in my mind what was happening. For example, Sherlock Holmes. And who's Sherlock Holmes? I said, well, that's on the TV these days, Sherlock Holmes. You'd perhaps get someone walking up a gravel path, and you'd hear their feet crunching on the gravel. Then the door would open. There are all these big eyes looking up at me. And I said, then you'd hear someone walking in the hall. Clonk, clonk. And then someone would shout out, look out, he's got a gun. And one of them shouted out, oh, what's next? And I said, see, there you are, you see. This is the thing about a play. You're thinking in your mind, what's happening next? You're picturing things in your mind, which is what I loved about the radio plays. I heard someone say, no Cocoa Pops. And someone else said, no aeroplanes, holiday in a caravan. And I said, no, there were aeroplanes. It's just that people didn't travel on them abroad for holidays like they do these days. Then there was another little voice. No lift to school, you had to walk. No cars. And again, I said, no, there were cars. It's just that not every family had a car. And someone said, well, not even one. Not even one car. Of course, most families these days, they've got, what, two cars or more? Not even one car? I was thinking that that was the end of the questions and answers session when a little voice said, Grandad, you can buy turkey dinosaurs. Turkey dinosaurs? I said, what are turkey dinosaurs? Anyway, apparently they're turkey dinosaurs. And I said, no, you couldn't buy turkey dinosaurs. And that the faces were, I don't know, what's the word? Bewilderment. You couldn't buy turkey dinosaurs. Then another little voice popped up. You must have been so hungry. My little grandson's big sister came over to me and she said, Grandad, I feel so sorry for you. It must have been terrible. I said, no, it wasn't that bad. It was all right. Well, we didn't miss what we'd never had. And she said, did you have a kitchen? I said, oh, yeah, we had a kitchen. Yeah, we had a house with the rooms and the kitchen. I said, we didn't have things like a microwave. Of course, that set them off. No microwave. How did you cook? Well, you know, my mum cooked with a cooker, the oven, but no microwave. You can't cook without a microwave. Some things have to go in the microwave. So there we are. I suppose looking back, what we had then and what we've got now, it would seem to someone, you know, kids of today, that we lived in, I don't know, sort of absolute poverty with nothing to eat, no cars, no telephones. It must be, in their eyes, it must have been like looking back, I suppose, to the Dark Ages. So that's food for thought, isn't it? That was quite an enjoyable time at Christmas, actually. It went on a lot longer. There were various other topics that came up, but that's the general theme of it. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Look out for the next one, and I shall see you next week. Bye-bye for now.